Today, we're headed to Cleveland, Ohio, the birthplace of rock and roll, and home to one of the most important films in the history of modern cinema, Major League. We're checking out the newly renovated Progressive Field, home of the Guardians, this week on Ballpark Road Trip. This is Ballpark Road Trip. If you're listening to this podcast, you like ballparks, or you're planning on visiting a ballpark sometime in the future. Well, you've come to the right place. Here on the show, we will be traveling around to each major league city, talking to locals who know their home ballparks inside and out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ballpark Road Trip. I'm your host, Jacob Russell Snyder, and today we are in Cleveland, Ohio, checking out Progressive Field. Earlier this year, Cleveland debuted some big renovations at the ballpark, so we are going to talk to two season ticket holders about all the changes at the Jake. Can I still call it that? It's always going to be Jacob's Field to me, mostly because I'm Jacob. So any ballpark that shares a name with me needs to exist. So I'll be keeping up that tradition for sure. My only visit to Jacobs Field was in 2013 as a part of my Yo-Yo and Coco Do America tour. I was moving from Oakland to Boston, and I was driving across the country with my ex-girlfriend. We were going to stop at both ballparks in Chicago, Cleveland, and Toronto, along with the Field of Dreams site in Dyersville, Iowa, and I was bringing my Yoenis Cespedes and Coco Crisp bobbleheads with me to document the trip like garden gnomes. Now, why was my ex going with me? I don't know. It was out of some sort of loyalty, I guess. We had dated for a year, and we had planned this trip knowing that I was going to be moving to Boston for grad school. And we would take this trip across the country. But then we broke up earlier than expected, and I started dating someone else for my last 4 months in town. Now, this new girl also knew that I was going to grad school and that we would be breaking up in 4 months. Still, it must have seemed weird when I asked my ex-girlfriend to go on the road trip we had planned. I don't know. Don't ask me. It seemed like the right thing to do at the time. I didn't want to plan a trip with a girlfriend, break up with her, and then take the new girlfriend on that trip. So out of a sense of decency and strange loyalty, I extended the invitation to my ex, left the current girlfriend at home, and we set out on a 2-week road trip. I did feel a little bad for my new girlfriend. But not that bad. She got the better end of the deal in the long run. We've been married for about 8 years now. My ex? Well, it was a good trip as buddies. But something I do remember is that by the time we got to Cleveland, she was pretty fed up with my ballpark road tripping. If you've listened to the podcast before, you might know that one of my favorite things about a ballpark is its exterior architecture. So I usually like to get to the ballpark early to walk around the outside and get pictures, and then walk around the inside of the ballpark looking at all the nooks and crannies. Now, for someone who isn't a ballpark connoisseur, this must seem like a giant waste of time hanging out with a guy with ADD never making it to his seat. But since we had just driven 5.5 hours from Chicago to Cleveland, this walk wasn't happening pregame, but rather between the first and fourth innings. So by the time we got inside, we had missed half the game. And you know, the Guardians were playing a random team, so I didn't really care how much of the game I actually saw. But for her, it must have felt like going to Disneyland and not going on any rides. She was pretty annoyed with me. Every right to be. So what I do remember about my 4-5 innings inside Progressive Field? Well, two things. I remember hanging out in the right field corner at some picnic tables. That was kind of a cool place. I think they had just renovated or they were going to renovate. I don't know. I still like the idea that there was an open air space that I could hang out. I don't think I could see the field from there. I don't remember, but I remember hanging out at those picnic tables in the corner. What I really remember, though, if you want to know the truth, was something that happened after the game. My main takeaway from that Saturday night in Cleveland was that after the game, when we left the ballpark in our car, driving back to the hotel, downtown Cleveland was popping. There were string lights over the streets and people filling bars and restaurants. Downtown Cleveland seemed like a really cool place to hang out after the game, and it made me want to go back just for that. We left the next morning, so I didn't get a chance to explore the city until I came back in November of 2022, but we'll get to that at the end of the show. But now it's time to talk to my guests, Greg and Lucas Foote, who are going to tell us all about Progressive Field.
Progressive Field.
Greg, Lucas, your father and son, are you guys season ticket holders or just big Guardians fans? What's your relationship with the Guardians?
We are season ticket holders, yes.
Where are your tickets?
We are in section 182, which is the bleachers.
Now, if you guys were recommending tickets or seats to someone else who's coming in, is that where you would recommend them? Are those your favorite seats in the ballpark, or is that where you had a good deal for season ticket holders? Where would you want to sit or have people sit?
Yeah,
I'll let both of you answer, because maybe you guys have different ideas about where you would like to be sitting. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, we obviously love the bleachers, the economical feature, but also the view of the stadium. You get to see the whole field, and it also allows you to see a lot of the plays and stuff like that. The big drawback by sitting in the bleachers, though, is the big jumbo scoreboard behind us. You don't have a chance to see that. But other than that, it's a phenomenal experience sitting in that spot.
Lucas, do you like that view that's a little higher, I guess, from your bleachers, like, are above like a bigger wall? Is that right?
Yeah. So you guys get a little wall in left field. Yeah.
So you guys get a little bit of a view, or a little bit of a, not a bird's eye view, but a little higher view from those bleachers.
Yeah.
Where would you sit if you had the chance, Lucas?
I mean, since we started going, we've always sat in left field. So I think that's probably where I'd stay. I like it, one, because I just love Steven Kwan. He's always right in front of us in left field. So he's been my favorite player ever since he came up. And then also just coming in and out, like, it's so quickly because the parking garage is right behind the left field gate. So you can get out of there before everyone else and get right out and avoid any traffic.
You know, that's a good thing that people like to know. How would you get to the game? Do you guys drive usually? Is that your main way of going? How far away from the stadium do you guys live?
30 minutes.
It's best to drive for you guys?
Yeah, and there's a ton of parking around the stadium. So, I mean, they have a RTA that takes you to Tower City, which is about, what do you say, a 10-minute walk to the stadium. So if you wanted to park and drive or ride in, you could do that. But there's plenty of parking right around the stadium to get there, no problem.
How's parking in terms of on the wallet? How expensive is parking there? And can you find different kinds of parking places or any cheaper places if you wanted to?
Yeah, so the garage right next to the stadium's usually $40, depending on the opponent. So like if the Yankees are in town, it's a little bit more pricier, opening day, that kind of stuff. But usually most of the places within a 15-minute walk are $20 or higher.
Lucas, you don't look like you're old enough to drive yet. Am I correct with that?
No, I'm actually 18.
Oh, you are 18. I'm so sorry.
I haven't. No, you're good. I haven't.
I apologize. But let's say before 18 or even now, do you ever go not driving? Do you ever go some other way if you're not with your dad or anything like that? If you're not driving to the game?
No, normally I just drive. It's pretty much the best way to go.
If people didn't have a rental car in Cleveland, could they take public transportation, or would you just recommend maybe staying within walking distance of the park downtown?
Yeah, I mean, you could either or is fine. Or, I mean, there's a Uber, Lyft, that kind of stuff you could take in. But other than that, yeah, it's a walkable city for sure.
Yeah, so I've been to Cleveland a couple times, and I remember walking around downtown after a Saturday night game, and I remember it just being really vibrant. Like, there was a lot of stuff happening downtown. Is that a good place to hang out either before or after a game if people want to?
Yeah, there's a lot of good eateries, a lot of local shops. There's the place called Barrio Tacos. They have a lot of obviously street tacos and stuff like that, and fare and dips and stuff like that. There's also a pizza by the slice, Dracy's slice pizza. It's right there too. So you can get a whole pie, or you can just get a slice. And the cool thing about Progressive Field is you can bring outside food in. So if you want to stop at, one of those eateries and take it into the stadium, you're more than welcome to do that. And so there's a lot to do eating as well as hanging out afterwards or before the game.
And you feel like it's a pretty safe place. Like downtown Cleveland's not a place that people have to worry at all about crime-wise or anything like that.
I mean, like obviously there's certain spots you wouldn't want to be, but mostly around that area, you're okay because it's well lit, well policed, all that stuff. So it's a good location.
Now going back to, sitting inside the ballpark. So we've got the idea of maybe the bleachers in left field, and that's where you guys are. You guys are in left field. Is right field, that would be a different kind of experience, right? You don't have that big high wall in right. Lucas, where else have you sat in the ballpark that you've enjoyed? Or have you pretty much been in your season tickets your whole life?
So we were in the bleachers for like 5 years. Then we moved to right field because we got some nice seats down lower, for like 2 years. 2 years. So we had that right field experience for a little bit. So we had a lot of games there. And right field's a great place to sit. You're right there. It's more closer to the field other than left field because you're up in that 19 foot. But also we've sat behind the Guardians dugout. That's a good view. They'll always toss up the third out balls. You can try and catch those. It's always fun. And then we've sat. It used to be called the Terrace Club. It's part of the new stuff they've made. It's called the West Coast Club now, or the North Coast Club.
North Coast, yeah.
And you can come up there. You don't even have to have tickets up there. It's first come, first serve. And it's a good view from the foul territory. And you can eat whatever. They have a lot of good stuff up there.
Any places that either of you would recommend people not sit? Like you're like, you know what? You already mentioned one of the only drawbacks for like sitting in the bleachers in left field, you don't get the scoreboard, which is behind you. Any other things like that? Maybe like if people don't want to sit in the sun or if there's something that's blocked, what do you think?
Yep.
What places you wouldn't like to sit?
So, yeah, the whole right field line, you're going to be in sun until probably on an evening game in the summer, probably till about the third or fourth inning. So, if you don't want sun in your eyes, that's pretty much the whole right field line from home plate up till upper deck of right field. But then once the sun goes down, it's a great spot. I can't really think of, I mean, really, there's not a bad spot to sit. I mean, even if you're up in the upper deck, it's still a good view of the stadium and it's on top of each other. So you can see stuff pretty well too.
The upper deck at Progressive Field, what do you think about the upper deck? Is it too high? Is it a good view from up there? Do you have to worry if you're scared of heights? What do you think about the upper deck in
Yeah, no,
Cleveland?
I think the upper deck, like behind home plate, like it's a beautiful view of the stadium. And so if you want to see the whole field, a great view of the scoreboard, anywhere behind home plate in the right or towards the right or left is a great view. The lower you are, I think those are called the view boxes. Those are, I mean, they call them view boxes and you get a good view of the stadium in those spots. And so yeah, there's good spots up there too.
Lucas, would you feel disappointed if you got free tickets to the game and they brought you and you ended up in the third deck, or would you feel fine?
I would feel fine because I would get a drink, get some food, and just enjoy my time with whoever I'm around or if I'm with friends or anything. It'd be fine. And because I just love watching the Guardians.
Are you like a Guardians employee all of a sudden or something? That was a very diplomatic answer
No,
for.
you should be.
I would say all the bad spots that they might have had, they got rid of in this past off season, and they made them more like just standing room only seats.
Yeah, social clubs, stuff like
Yeah.
that.
Have you guys explored any of those new areas yet? And how many of like what areas are open to the public? I mean, it sounds like you said there are social spaces and sometimes they add clubs, but what can you as a public member go to while you're
So
walking
out of the
around?
new stuff they did in the 2024 offseason above the third deck and right field, they flattened it all out, took all the seats out, and that can be rented off, but usually it's open to the public and there's seats up there and you can eat. And then
Lucas,
the
is
new
that
stuff.
where the what are the like the shipping containers
Yes.
were?
Yeah,
Is that
those were interesting.
that's the same area that
Yeah.
up
It's
there?
called the Pennant District, and so They have it open most of the games, but if like if a corporation or a group wants to have a group outing, they'll close that section off for that corporation, and they can have all the eats, and then they have seating that you can have your company be a part of and that kind of stuff. But if it's not being used, you can mosey around and see all the pennants and stuff on that
Oh,
the
that's
shipping
cool.
container
Are
area.
those still out there, those shipping
No, they
containers?
got rid of all that stuff and cleared it all out and made it a nice looking space, more aesthetic for baseball.
Cool. Have you guys been over in left field?
Yeah, so they just redid the Terrace Club, and so like Lucas was talking about, the lower section's called North Coast something
North Coast Social.
Social, and that's for people to rent out boxes and stuff like that. But above that, there's an area where it's an open bar and really good eats. One of the things they added this year, well, two good eats up there is they have a turkey leg. It's ginormous, and then they also have a fried bologna sandwich that's pretty good as well up in that new section.
And those are two brand new items this year.
Correct. Yep.
Any old favorites that you've had? What do you guys usually do in terms of food? Do you bring in your own food because you come a lot and it's cheaper? Do you eat beforehand? Do you have a place outside that you like, or do you like to eat in the ballpark?
So I mean, it all depends on the day. Usually, we'll try out all the new spots towards the beginning of the season. So then, as we bring our friends throughout the season, we can say, "This is where you got to go eat." A tried and true place is a location right behind us in the bleachers. It's called the Fat Rooster. It's got a hot chicken sandwich, like a Nashville hot, with some good
Nice.
fries and like a mayo blend dipping sauce that we frequent often. Lucas likes different fries and different things like that. There's a lot of like fries with different toppings you can put on.
Yeah,
That's
they put in this place called the Fry Box in right field last year, and there's chicken bacon ranch fries, barbecue fries, like any
Oh,
type of meat
cool.
fries you want, like that it has it there.
That's a good idea for I like all kinds of new, handhelds and like fries. I remember there was a place in near UCLA where I was earlier, and they had a fry shop with just like 30 different dipping sauces that
That's fun.
you could use. So
Nice.
I thought that was a great thing as
Yep.
well. What else do you like in the ballpark? Anything else to eat? And what else? What's Clevelandy or Progressive Field? What's been their signature for a while? Any
I would
ideas?
say in right field, they have a bunch of, they bring in local businesses and say, like, you can serve your stuff out in right field. So Barrio, we talked about that earlier. You can go there outside the stadium, but they also have their stuff inside the stadium. That's Mexican food. And they have their normal the ballpark food, the burgers, the fries, the hot dogs. But and then Fatheads Brewery, they have some good loaded fries as well. Lots of loaded fries out in the stadium. They have good craft beers. I know I'm not old enough, but for the people who are old enough to have that, they have a good amount there.
Yeah, one of the things that my daughter likes to get is it's called a slider dog. So it's a hot dog and it's got Fruit Loops and other fun things on it. So a bunch of people like to get that, just a different variety.
I was going to ask about the Fruit Loops dog, if either of you
Yeah,
guys
so it's
had tried
called a
that one.
slider dog.
All right.
And then yeah, there's just a lot of so like Lucas was talking about in right field, so they have all the like local businesses or restaurants. So like Mitchell's Ice Cream, it's one of the local ice cream shops. They have an ice cream stand inside the stadium, so you can get, hard serve ice cream there. And you got a milkshake the other day.
Yeah.
Where was that at?
That was at Fatheads too.
Okay, so
Yeah.
Fatheads was serving up some milkshakes too. So all
That's
different kinds
awesome.
of stuff.
So let's say we're coming in before the game. Is there any reason to walk around the outside of the stadium or anything to see, any statues or anything to see outside, or is it best to come right in?
So, I mean, there's some statues right outside the center field gate of some Guardians or Indians legends out there, and there's also little placards on the pavement that kind of give like little historical facts. So right around the, like, there's not much more around the stadium, but League Park is not too far from the stadium, and so if you're coming in from out of town, it's actually called the Heritage Baseball Museum. I don't know if you're familiar with that,
Yeah, that was
but.
really cool. I went there last time I was in
Yeah,
Cleveland. It was pretty cool.
so League Park, that's where Cy Young pitched. He was the first guy to throw the first pitch out there. Babe Ruth hit his 500th home run. Joe DiMaggio, he had his 56th game hit at that stadium, and the next night it was over. So there's a lot of local history in that park. It's not right
Yeah.
beside Progressive Field. It's probably, I don't know, a 10-minute drive, but if you're in the area for a few hours before, it's worth the trip for sure.
That's a great tip. Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, Lucas? Anywhere else, like inside the stadium, if people are walking around? I'm someone who, around the fourth inning, especially if I don't know either of the teams, like they're not my teams, I'm just visiting to go to ballparks, I like to start walking around the ballpark. Is there anything besides getting food, Lucas, anything to see or do inside the ballpark?
Yeah, I would say there's two spots. The first one in center field, Heritage Park. It's the Guardians Hall of Fame. They have a bunch of plaques of all the players, and it's also right next to the bullpen, so you can watch the away or home team or the Guardians pitching, warming up. And then in right field, right next to the corner bar, you can wait in a line prior to an inning. And back in 2015, when they did their first set of fixes to the ballpark, they took out the bullpen, moved it to center field, and they have the old bullpen seating for the away team. You can go down for an inning and watch an inning from the field level of where the old bullpen used to be, and that's a great view. That's
Oh,
amazing.
that's cool. You don't have, you just have to wait in a line. You don't have to make like a reservation or
Nope.
have a ticket.
Nope. You just got to be there in time for, I think, 5 minutes before the inning,
And
and that game starts.
they'll give you a wristband. So like once the first inning allotment's full, they'll say this is for the second inning, third inning. But you get to see both the visiting team as well as the Guardians bat. So sometimes you could get a home run hit to you because you're on field level right there in right field. So it's a neat little spot. Another thing too, if you have kids, they have a kids clubhouse area. So when Lucas was younger, he would spend a ton of time up there, obviously, try to watch the game as much as we can. But there's a lot of fun things to do if you have younger kids and you're bringing those to the ballpark. They have the kids clubhouse and the family deck area.
And just to reiterate for our listeners, Lucas, you were like a kid like 13 to 15 years ago. Like this is not like 2 or 3 years ago. This is a long
It
time ago. Yes.
was like five.
Lucas
We'll go
is a
like
grown
10
man.
years
Grown man. Just doesn't look like he can drive yet. All right, that's fine. All right.
ago.
Would you say that it sounds like a lot of, not everything, but it sounds like a lot of the things you're saying, you talk about the statues out by the outfield gates, the different things out in the outfield. Is Progressive the kind of place where you might want to enter from the outfield, or is it just one of many places you can enter? Like Nationals Park in Washington is situated where their main entrance is center field. That's where
Right.
everyone's going to kind of come in. What do you feel like in terms of Progressive Field?
So they have three main entry points. The left field gate is where like you're parking on like, and so the Cleveland Cavaliers play in Rocket Arena, which is right in that area. So it's all together. Center field is where the statues are, and so there's a bunch of gates there. Also, there's the infield gate, and that's right by on home plate. And so any of those entrances, depending on what side of the stadium you're parking on, or if you are staying in a hotel, there's all different, doesn't matter which how you come in, it's a small enough stadium you can get anywhere pretty quick.
Let's talk atmosphere just a little bit. Can a visiting fan feel safe wearing their jersey coming to Progressive? And are there any teams that probably shouldn't? Any rivalry teams or anything like that?
Yeah, I think any team would feel welcome there for sure. I can't think of anybody that's.
I would say, I mean, the Yankees are always a rival because when they come to town, I mean, I'm not a big fan of their fans, to be honest.
I get
But
it.
when they come to town, I think that's like when people are, it's like a friendly rivalry sometimes. Sometimes it can get a little bit out of hand. But that Yankees, I would say the only time where it's like, gotta be like ready for some maybe some talking from fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the times it's probably about anywhere. It's like it's usually if they're obnoxious, if that's just gonna rile things up. But if you bring in any jersey anywhere, nobody's gonna give you a hard time. We welcome. I like even last night we were up at the Guardians played the Dodgers and we had, I mean, a Dodgers contingency all around us. And so we just had good fun with the fans because we all know that they were just hitting home runs like crazy. So we're just like,
Yeah.
yay.
Is there anything at the game that you guys either do at the stadium or have any traditions or anything that you think that people might want to not be walking around for? For example, they have different big head races around. St. Louis has a In the seventh inning, they've got an extra beer song or something like that that they sing along. Is there anything in Cleveland that people might want to know about?
at the end of the fifth inning, they have the hot dog derby, Sugardale hot dog derby, with the four hot dogs, ketchup, mustard, onion, and spicy, the new one. But they race from left field to right field, and it's always some dramatic stuff every time.
You
Is
don't want
there
to miss the hot dog derby.
Can't miss the hot dog derby.
I was going to say, is there a perennial loser from that? Because I know a lot of the other ones, Teddy Roosevelt never wins in DC. Sockeye the Salmon never wins in Seattle. Is there a perennial loser of yours?
So, what was it? One year was it
It
mustard?
was the past 2 years they've had Mustard be the loser, and he's been like the guy that they you just hit on every time, and he's the loser every time. But this year they've taken that away. But it was the fun little gimmick, and they sent him down to the minor leagues. They had that be a big headline a couple years ago. Just
That's right.
they had fun with that.
I'll ask both of you these questions because I want to get both of your answers for them. I'll start with you, Lucas. You're sitting or standing at your favorite place in Progressive Field. Where are you sitting or standing?
Has to be the what's it called now? The Champions Club out right above the first baseline. It's the club seats, all you can eat food.
All you can eat food right above that second deck, first deck,
Second deck above the first baseline.
right above the first baseline. All right. And those are called the championship seats.
The Champions Club.
Champions Club, Champions Club. Great. Awesome. Greg, how about you? Your favorite place, your standing seat. It could be seats, it could just be a vista.
So I like the bullpen seats. They're in center field. There's only two rows of them. You're right in front of the bullpens, but they're nice, wide, cushy seats. But you have access to any home run balls, and so if you're there for batting practice, anything that lands in that section is yours. But the view of the stadium is great there too. But it's called the bullpen seats.
Let me ask you about those seats because I saw those and I thought they were really cool. What is the view, if any, is there a view of the bullpen? Like, or since you're in front of those, are you kind of watching the field from close, but the bullpen is behind you?
Yeah, so the field's like directly in front of you. And then if you turn around, the Guardians are warming up right behind you. All it is a netting, and then the visiting club is on the next level up. But you have direct access. You can, I mean, sometimes the bullpen players will talk to you, or the coaches and stuff like that, or they'll toss you a ball and that kind of thing if you're looking for those souvenirs.
And if you're a visiting fan, even without buying those seats, you can walk and get really right up to a rail with your team, like which is on top. Is that correct?
Yep, you're perched right above it, so you have a chance to, talk to your players or, yell at them, that kind of stuff. And it's great access to any of the players for sure.
Do you feel like that is better access to players now that the foul ball netting kind of goes all the way around from pole to pole that like and how do you guys feel about that? You guys don't have that kind of netting in the outfield, so you can be as close or as far as you want, but does that at all determine where you would sit if you were sitting close on the right or left field line? What do you think about those nettings now?
I thought, well, at first I used to love to get autographs from both the home and away teams, and the net kind of took that away. So that was my least favorite part of the Nets. But I think if I was sitting there, it wouldn't. We've sat on the third baseline a couple times. It doesn't matter that much. The netting's you can't you forget about it after a couple innings. But
Yeah. But bullpens are maybe a place to maybe get a ball tossed to you if you want.
totally, yeah. One thing too is unique to, I'm not sure, like we've traveled to 23 different baseball stadiums, and so one of the things unique about Progressive is you if you enter in, you can get your ticket scanned and go back out. So if you want to get a giveaway, so say it's a bobblehead game, you want to get there early, but then you want to eat like one of the local shops, you can go in, get your bobblehead or whatever, and then get your ticket scanned to go back out and eat, and then come back in for the game if you don't want to.
Are you kidding? That seems to be the most unique and best thing about Progressive Field that I've heard so far, because you can't do
Yeah,
that in
I've never
most
seen
other
that anywhere
ballparks.
else we've been. So
Perfect.
one of the things that really made that huge is when they doing the renovations last year, they had to have the team shop outside the stadium, and so you'd have to if you want to go to the
Oh,
team
okay.
shop. And but they even had that before, and they've kept it this year so far too. I'm not sure how long they'll have that incentive, but it's a great thing if you come to a game and you want to check something else out, you're more than welcome to do that.
That's great. I think that's a really cool feature. I'll make sure that I remember that when I visit. All right, I've got two final questions for you guys. First, Any tips to save money, whether it's a certain day of the week or a certain type of game or a certain a secret stand that has a good deal? Any tips for people if they want to save money a little bit?
I would say starting with the 2023 season, they started selling these souvenir cups, and it's $9, which is expensive, but when you find out what you can get with it, so once you buy the cup, you can use it any stand for the rest of the year. So we bought the cup this year, used it every game we've gone to last year, the year before. You can just refill. They have stands you can refill. It's
Oh, that's
nine
great.
bucks one time, and then it's free drinks the rest of the year, or anytime you
That's cool.
go.
That's great. You keep bringing your plastic cup back. That's fantastic.
Yeah, most Friday games, and it's on the website. It's the dollar hot dogs, and so if you want that, and then $2 beers. Is that Saturday?
Saturdays,
There's
yeah.
different Miller Lite or Bud Light does one of the incentives that way too. So those games for the weekends happen pretty.
Cleveland sounds like a fantastic place. You got In-N-Out privileges. You got $2 beers on Saturdays, not on Tuesdays. I don't know. You know,
Right.
this seems they're taking all the perks and making them like everyday occurrences.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess my final question for you, and I asked this about all the ballparks because this is a travel show, and so this is for people who are coming into town. Let's say they're in town for a weekend. They can only go to one game. Do you recommend a Friday night, a Saturday night, or a Sunday matinee game at Progressive Field?
I would say Saturday because the crowds on Saturdays are just always bigger and it's much more vibrant and there's always a lot of people and the crowd's just kind of like bouncing the whole time and it's always a good vibe on Saturdays.
Yeah, I would agree. Saturday for sure. Sunday matinee is great if you have like young kids because they do kids run the bases afterwards. So that's a neat incentive too if you just want to have them burn off some energy. Yes, if you're going for a weekend, I would say pick the Saturday evening. You'll have a blast for sure.
Well, Greg and Lucas, it's been great talking with you. Thank you so much for joining me. And hopefully the Guardians are doing well this year and we'll keep doing well. So, yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Another big thank you to Greg and Lucas for coming on last moment. They really saved my bacon this episode. So thank you again. That was great to hear from you guys. Let's talk a little bit about what makes Cleveland a great baseball road trip-in city. So, there's five categories that I use: ballpark, baseball-related site, food, attractions, and filming locations. Those are my criteria, and Cleveland ranks pretty well on all of these. So let's talk about it. Progressive Field, yeah, a great ballpark, especially with these new renovations. I'm excited to go back and visit the ballpark again. As we mentioned before in the interview, a great baseball-related site is going to see League Park. League Park definitely has the infrastructure from the old park. You can definitely see an old baseball stadium there. They've converted it into like a modern field with a rec center and a baseball museum, but it's a really great attraction to go check out League Park. I recommend that. Food. Well, I don't really know what Cleveland is famous for, but just a little bit of research shows me that Cleveland does have a big Polish heritage, a lot of Polish immigrants, so that leads to some great food, whether they're pierogies or corned beef sandwiches, or something that I never heard of, but I'm going to try next time I go, is a Polish boy. This is a Cleveland specialty featuring a kielbasa sausage, fries, coleslaw, and barbecue sauce. So that sounds like a heart attack waiting to happen, but I'm excited to try it. In terms of activities in Cleveland, oh, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is gotta be on everybody's list. I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when I went back in 2022, and it was so cool. And as a musician, let me tell you my favorite part about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So if we have any musicians there, you like to play guitar, you like to play drums, piano, you like to sing. I don't know if this is every day, but when I was there, they had a jam room and they had two Hall of Fame employees, you know, these young guys in their 20s. They were there helping you jam. We had a guitarist and a drummer, and I played piano, and other people sang, other guests who were visiting the museum sang, and we just jammed and played songs. They had books of music. It was so much fun. I could have spent all day there jamming with those guys. That was great. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is great. Filming locations, well, you know, we talked about Major League, but, you know, Major League wasn't really filmed in Cleveland. Maybe some of the city scenes were, but the ballpark scenes, that's all in the old county stadium for the first Major League. That's in Milwaukee. Baltimore at Camden Yards for the second Major League. But there are other movies filmed in Cleveland. The Marvel movie Captain America, The Winter Soldier, that was filmed in Cleveland, standing in for New York City. And actually, there is a scene where Chris Evans and Scarlett Johansson, they're being chased by bad guys in a shopping mall, right? They're running through the shopping mall. And at one point, they get on an escalator, and to avoid the bad guys from seeing them, she kisses him. And that was all done in, I believe it's called Town Center. I don't remember the name, but a big shopping mall downtown Cleveland. You can go that. But of course, the most famous movie filmed in Cleveland has its own museum and gift shop dedicated to it. Of course, I'm talking about A Christmas Story. You can go see the house from A Christmas Story. It's still decked out like it was in the movie. It's a tourist attraction. You can take a tour. You can buy a Red Ryder BB gun from the gift shop. You can also get a leg lamp, Fragile, written on it, you know, so that's a great place to go. So that means that, let's see, we've got 5 for ballpark, 5 for baseball sites. I'll put 4 for food, 5 for attractions, 5 for filming locations. That's going to put Cleveland at 24 out of 25 for a road trip in city. That's pretty good. That's right now, that is only trailing New York and Chicago. So good job, Cleveland. I usually end the show by telling my favorite thing about the ballpark. For Progressive, it's a little difficult because since I was last there, there have been 2 different renovations, creating more social spaces and things that I'm sure I would love. I was thinking it was that big 19-foot wall in right field, but looking at pictures now, it's covered with advertisements and another scoreboard, and then the big scoreboard behind it kind of creates a very different look out there. It's really interesting. You know, that is pretty much the main structure you see out there, those left field bleachers with that huge scoreboard behind it. But I don't know exactly what my favorite thing is. It's not the name. Jacobs Field is long gone. That would be an easy one. The outside is really cool. I love the facade. I love the architecture, how it's kind of a retro ballpark, but still really in this Cleveland-based architecture. So I think I'm going to have to go back and check out the renovations and then give an update on my favorite thing about Progressive Field. So that may sound like a cop-out, but it's my podcast. All right. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We will be back next week to finish up this mini ballpark road trip. Until then, this is Jacob Russell Snyder saying, we'll be back next week to finish up this mini ballpark road trip. Talk to you then.
Thank you for listening to Ballpark Road Trip. If you like what you hear, feel free to follow the show on Instagram at Tours with Jacob. If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can send us a message on Instagram or feel free to email us at tourswithjacob@gmail.com. We'd love to hear any recommendations you have for your home ballpark. You can send us an audio recording by using your voice memo app on your smartphone and emailing it to tourswithjacob@gmail.com. Please keep your suggestions and recommendations to a minute or less, but feel free to send as many as you'd like. We'll make sure to get them on the show at some point. Thanks for listening. See you next time.